Good morning, sports fans. Are you ready for some sports? Some sports talk, internet radio. Welcome back to another edition of Hey, It's a Sports Show. I'm your host, Lance Robbins. Beep. It's nearly the end of January, the 30th. Happy Wednesday, still 2013. Today we're going to take a look at the upcoming fights for this Saturday, live on pay-per-view. It's UFC 156, Aldo vs. Edgar. We're going to go around the sports world with a couple headline-worthy stories. The first one coming out of the University of Kentucky. Amazing performance by one Wildcat, Nerlens Noel. The big prospect, the big high top fade, the big shot block. He only blocked 12 shots last night in a humongous win for the Wildcats over number 16, Ole Miss. This was a huge win if you really look at the Kentucky schedule. They're already on the bubble. They wouldn't have been able to find the bubble, I believe, if they didn't win this game. They would have had to make a serious run down the stretch just to get into the NCAA tournament. That means the defending champs, even though most of them were not on that team, would have not even made the tournament. Noel came up huge with 12 blocks, some of them big-time highlight blocks. And it wasn't like he was matched up against a tiny center. He was in there against a senior, big-bodied 6'9", Reggie Buckner. So the Kentucky Wildcats pull off the upset at Ole Miss to keep their hopes alive. Also, in some other basketball news, we go to the NBA. Should I even talk about the Lakers? Why not? Three in a row? Wowee! The Lakers just reeled off three wins in a row and are still five under 500 in the 10th spot in the West, meaning they're two spots out of the playoffs, and both of those teams ahead of them are both over 500. Not really newsworthy, picking up a W against the Hornets, who have made it life really difficult for the 15 teams they've beat this season. 15 wins, 30 losses. Way to get over that hump, Lakers. Now, I'm not saying the Lakers can't make the playoffs. They're just not in the hunt compared to the Trailblazers and the Rockets, who are 8-9 right now in the playoff seedings. For me, this team is supposed to be competing for one of the top four spots in the West. So even if they did make the playoffs and got bounced in the first round, that's a huge disappointment on the Lakers' behalf. And I still put that on the front office, the hand-me-down ownership there, making terrible decisions. In other news, Ray Lewis, who has not tested positive for anything. This is a Sports Illustrated article claiming the owner of a company had sold deer antler supplement or spray or something of that nature to Ray Lewis to help him recover from his torn triceps. Ray Lewis adamantly denied it at the Super Bowl festivities yesterday. He did it in typical Ray Lewis fashion, completely denying it in a passionate stance, saying, "If you ever have trained with me, you would know that I work harder than anyone else, and I'm so competitive, and you wouldn't question if I've ever taken any supplements, any banned supplements. I'm so competitive. That's just who I am. I bet you I can eat a whole bowl of SpaghettiOs faster than you." I'm paraphrasing there. I think it would have been better if he didn't do the typical Ray Lewis thing. Maybe he just dropped in some humor and quoted a young baseball star, and just when asked about the reported use of a banned substance, he would have just said, "Hey, that's a clown question, bro." Drop a little Bryce Harper on him. In international soccer news, the U.S. played Canada in a friendly. And they played a little too friendly, as it went to a 0-0 draw. There were very few moments in the match that were of excitement. But I will say this. The U.S. were supposed to go in there and trounce Canada. But you had a ton of guys receiving their first caps in international play for the U.S. A very young squad was out there. And even if you're not a football fan, a fan of the World Game, a soccer guy, maybe you just are patriotic and want to root for the U.S. soccer team. I'm telling you right now that that program is getting much better. Even though they couldn't put it together for a goal or for some consistent play, I saw something out there that I haven't seen since I've started watching the U.S. international team, and that's a collection of young, talented athletes. I'm talking about really good athletes. The future may be pretty bright for U.S. Soccer, and they may be able to start competing on an international level consistently. We shall see. But there's some bright spots out there. Some guys who are dynamic, who can do multiple things. Keep an eye on a guy who plays outside in an attacking position, Josh Gatt. It's a guy who gets up the field, can attack multiple times. Very aggressive player. He may be too aggressive right now, but it's a live and learn situation. And if you take a look at the amount of talent the U.S. is supplying the Premier Leagues in Europe, talking about guys like Clint Dempsey who actually play, guys who are just there developing, Tim Howard, Bocanegra, Altidore, Breck Shays is getting a chance over there in Stoke City. Could be a bright future for the U.S., soccer-wise. In MMA news, we'll take a look at UFC 156 coming up. That's the featherweight champion, Jose Aldo, defending his belt against Frankie Edgar, one of the top guys at 155, making his debut at 145 pounds. And this isn't one of those Chael Sonnen, John Jones situations where why is he getting a shot at the title? He's never fought at that weight. Frankie Edgar's qualifications to fight for a championship at 145 are just as good as anybody else at 145. This guy has beaten everybody at 155 minus the champion Benson Henderson, and he's got an argument there in that last title fight, a very close fight with Henderson. This is the weight class that everybody said Frankie should be fighting at. He didn't have a chance to fight at 145. A, there was no UFC 145 division. B, he became champion and defended his strap at 155 pounds. My keys to this matchup, the pace of the fight. Frankie Edgar has shown that he can take a lot of damage in the first round or two and still come back in a 5-round fight and win decisively. Along with pace, early damage. Those two go hand in hand. If Aldo doesn't blow his load early and can keep up with Frankie Edgar's high pace, this guy comes in, he doesn't throw one punch, one strike at a time. He's exiting with leg kicks. He's constantly digging for a takedown. Very, very active fighter. If Aldo, who appears to be the much quicker and more explosive fighter, I think he's the most explosive fighter in all of MMA, if he's able to get early damage on Edgar, and Edgar, like always, is able to survive, will he have the stamina to finish the fight, as in make it to all 5 rounds? Now, we've seen tough guys get in there with Aldo and last, who are in great shape and are ready to go 5 rounds. Mark Hominick, with an extra forehead growing above his eye, just a massive hematoma, was getting decimated by straight right hands against Aldo. He was just too fast for him. But how did that fight end? It ended with Aldo on his back being stacked up and Hominick raining down ground and pound. Of course, it was too little too late, an Aldo easy decision there, but against a better wrestler and a guy who can keep an even higher pace, I believe, in Frankie Edgar, that could be the most dangerous situation for a Jose Aldo. So is Aldo going to be the first guy to stop Frankie Edgar with strikes? He's a great candidate for it. I just look back to that Cub Swanson fight in the WEC, where he KO'd him in 15 seconds, I believe. found his range early and just flying knees. Literally, he landed a flying knee combination. I know that sounds weird. He jumped in the air, hit him with a right knee, and followed it up with a left knee before he hit the ground. And it's not just one of those things where he just brought his knees up. This is something he did on purpose. It's a strike he practiced. And you watch it in slow motion. It's amazing. And then you look at Swanson's face, who's a terrific fighter at 145, climbing the ranks again. Swanson has a cut, I believe, under his right eye and above his left eye. And that's because those two knees landed flush. And that was the end of the fight. It was amazing, spectacular finish. And that's why we all tune in. This is one of those pay-per-view cards that I always think these pay-per-view cards are overpriced, but this is one of those pay-per-view cards I feel comfortable with dishing out the dollars for. And on the reverse, if Frankie Edgar starts landing combinations and he finds his distance against Aldo, it's going to be very tough on Aldo, because when you start landing combinations with a guy, he usually is moving straight back. And when you move straight back, you don't have the best balance. And that's double and single leg territory for Edgar. Those are easy takedowns. And I think Edgar's top control, third round on, could be the story of this fight. Highly anticipated matchup. Can't wait to see it. And one of the co-main events is Sugar Rashad Evans, the one-time light heavyweight champion, facing Lil Nog, one of the Nogueira brothers. Both of these guys, highly ranked 205ers. But the odd thing about this matchup is it actually could be for a 185-pound shot at the title, as Rashad Evans has hinted at dropping down to 185, and he looks like he has the body for it. He's not a very large 205er. Also, if he decimates Nogueira, one of Anderson Silva's many mentors in the sport, there's a good storyline there. A lot of people are saying, hey, who should fight Anderson next? Chris Weidman has come up a lot because he's been on a hot streak in the UFC middleweight division. He's coming off a win, but he's also coming off shoulder surgery. And that win was against Mark Munoz, who just came off surgery of an elbow, I believe, and looked terrible in that fight. I do give Weidman credit for that victory, but that was a far lesser Munoz than we've seen in past fights. And now we hear rumors of Kung Lee, the former Strikeforce middleweight champion, and he's coming off that spectacular counterhook knockout of Rich Ace Franklin. But back to the Evans-Nogueira matchup. And my key in that matchup, I really believe, is going to be the speed of Rashad Evans on the feet and how early he wants to take it to the ground. I think his wrestling is outstanding, and he just relentless double legs and ground and pound. He's a savage when he gets top control. His ground and pound is a lot of fun to watch. The other co-main event is a bunch of heavy guys and Alistair Overeem, who looks like a freak, and Antonio Bigfoot Silva, who kind of is a freak in the fact that I believe he had one of those glandular problems that gave him some giant features. These are two very large heavyweights. They will both be right around that 260, 265-pound mark come weigh-ins. I think the key here is just Alistair Overeem's athleticism. Antonio Bigfoot Silva, big, strong heavyweight, but the speed and the ability to put together combinations and use all of his limbs. Alistair Overeem, I think he's going to overwhelm Bigfoot, but it could still be a good matchup there, because Antonio Bigfoot Silva, if he can get a takedown, that's a lot of human being to get out from underneath. And if Overeem wins that is the most likely scenario of a Cain Velasquez heavyweight title fight with Alistair Overeem. And that's another one of those guys. I know we talked about PEDs yesterday, but here's a guy who is coming off a suspension for a PED, and he's getting a main event, co-main event fight, and then he's going to be in probably the biggest fight in his career if he can pull off this win. Seems like we're rewarding these guys And if you know anything about Alistair Overeem's career, this is a guy who started off at like a 180-pound fighter. I think it was 184 or something. It was a pride fighting weight class and just grew to enormous proportions. And he says it's just diet and exercise, but this isn't his first run-in with a positive test result. Couple other good fights on that card. John Fitch, always a contender at welterweight, grounded out, big victory against a big prospect in Eric Silva. Took the explosive 170 fighter, Silva, who fights out of the Black House camp down there in Brazil, and just grounded him out. Just put on a veteran performance. But once again, couldn't finish the fight. And that's kind of the story of the John Fitch career. He's going to fight a ultra-impressive Damian Maia. This guy looks fantastic at 170 pounds. It's a guy who was a replacement, but he did for a title fight, and he fought Anderson Silva for 5 rounds in a very odd fight that got a lot of press for all the wrong reasons at Abu Dhabi. But Maia has just looked spectacular. He's going right to jiu-jitsu, and John Fitch, also a fantastic jiu-jitsu, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner. But for me, the Gracie, who's fighting at 185 pounds, and Damian Maia are the premier BJJ practitioners in MMA right now. If it's a grappling match you want, you're going to get the worst of it with these guys. Damian Maia, just so many slick transitions, doesn't seem to put himself in a bad position, always threatening. And he's decided that's what he's going to do. He's going to use his strength. And I think this is one of those matchups where you're going to see some tough grappling against the cage. And you may see Damian Maia pull guard and go right into a submission. You know, you might see one of those slick jiu-jitsu finishes in this matchup. But a terrific 170 tilt there. Benavidez McCall. These are two of the four guys who participated in the flyweight tournament that Demetrius Johnson won. And sadly, this fight, McCall and Johnson fought twice, and that's because there's a clause in the contract during the 125 tournament that says if it goes 3 rounds and it's a draw, that you will fight a 4th round. Well, when the cards were read, they were read incorrectly, and they gave Johnson the victory. When the cards were looked at again, it showed that it was scored a draw, so it should have went to a 4th round, so they fought again. Another 3 rounds, and Johnson won that decisively. I thought McCall won the first time, in all truth. Benavidez was in the tournament final with Johnson. This matchup at 125 is supposed to be for the a chance to contend for the title again. So it's a guy in McCall, if he wins, this will be his 3rd scrap with Johnson, and Benavidez his 2nd. Both great fighters at 125. It's just the depth at the UFC level just isn't there yet. I don't know what it's like in the independent MMA circuits, but it's just not there to create these large promotion-worthy title fights. So I hope the UFC keeps bringing in flyweight talents so they can build up that division. And then all those fights take place on February 2nd, this Saturday. I believe the prelims, as always, are on FX. Those are free. Free fights! Lucky us. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about the Super Bowl matchup coming up this Sunday, and I'll look at what I believe may be keys to victory for both teams. And as always, thanks for listening. This has been another edition of Hey, It's a Sports Show with Lance Robbins. Hit me up at lancerobbinssports@yahoo.com. That's LanceRobbins sports@yahoo.com. Our Facebook page, Hey, It's a Sports Show with Lance Robbins.